The book of Acts, chapter 22. The book of Acts, chapter 22. We're going to start our reading in verse 6 through 15. 6 through 15. If you are able and willing to stand with me for the reading of God's word, we'll read Acts chapter 22. We're going to read verses 6 through 15. Give you one more second. So Acts 22, verses 6 through 15. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, verse 14, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. And here's the text verse right here. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men, of what thou hast seen and heard. I want to preach just on the subject, be a witness. It's a simple title, be a witness. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your grace and your mercy in our lives, and thank you for your word that we can learn tonight. God, I pray that, Holy Spirit, you'll have your work, just work in our midst tonight. God, take me out of the way. Do something amazing tonight. Lord, change lives, because we know your word has the power to do that. Not because I'm preaching it, Lord, but because your word is sharp as a two-edged sword, Lord. It can cut to our heart. And God, I pray that you'll just work as only you can tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, if you're here tonight and you're born again, you know what God wants for you and I. He wants us not just to talk about how we are Christians, but he wants us to live it out in our everyday lives. Be a witness. That's what I want to focus on tonight, being a witness. And I think that title can go in so many different ways, but we're gonna focus here in the book of Acts, chapter 22, where the Apostle Paul, at this point in his life, his name was Saul, and this is where he gets converted. He gets saved, and the Lord changes his life. But When we're saved, when God comes into our life and changes us, he doesn't just want to leave us that way, right? He wants us not just to talk about how we're Christians, but he wants us to live it out in our everyday lives. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And if you're in Sunday school this past Sunday, we talked about that verse, didn't we? And that was, we've been going through our series, and that is one of the verses we read. And in our class, in our college and career class, we actually talked about the word Lord. Because he says in that verse, Lord, Lord, he says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is heaven. That word Lord means supreme in authority or controller. Is he really our controller this evening? I always love the verse and the quote, and I say it all the time in class, but I heard it from Johnny Hunt, and he said, It's not the truth that we know that changes us. It's the truth that we obey. See, we can talk all we want about being a Christian, but we need to back it up with our actions. We need to be a witness to the lost and dying world that desperately needs a Savior, and they might not even know it. The word witness is used 119 times in the Bible. The word witness means to give charge or to bear record. And a lot of times you think of that word witness, what do you think of? You think of being a witness in a court of law. In order to be that witness, that person must have experienced or seen something take place, right? And here's the thing. This is all introduction, but if we're going to be a witness for God, we must first of all be born again. That's where it starts. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So in order to be a witness, we must have experienced the changing power and love of God through a relationship with Jesus, right? That's where it has to start. And if you're watching by internet, if you're here tonight, I can never be naive enough to think that everyone in here is saved. And I always, when we preach God's word, we always have to give the gospel because that is where it starts. If we're going to be a witness, then it has to start with being born again. And you want to know something? When we repent of our sins, listen to this. I thought of this, and it probably isn't original with me, but when we repent of our sins and believe the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, when we make God the Lord of our life, the controller, we then are to bear record of that change, right? Just like the witness that takes the stand in court, we're to bear witness of the change that has taken place in our life. We're to tell others, right? Not just with our lips, but with our actions. One more quote. John MacArthur put it this way. I was listening to Johnny Hunt. I love hearing him preach. And he quoted John MacArthur. Listen to this. John MacArthur says, "The only reliable evidence of a person being saved is not a past experience of receiving Christ, but a present life that reflects Christ." Let me read that again. The only reliable evidence of a person being saved is not a past experience of receiving Christ, but a present life that reflects Christ. So are we reflecting Christ in our everyday lives? And when I stand up and preach and talk to you guys, I'm talking to myself. This is a constant battle. When we're in our flesh, we're either sowing to the Spirit, we're sowing to the flesh, but we're in a fleshly body, right? It's going to be a battle. But I love that quote because so many times in my life, I've always wanted to look back at, oh, well, I got saved on this day. God changed my life. Okay, that's great. But what are you doing for him today? Well, how are you reflecting Christ right now? And there's so many different ways we can reflect Christ. But I kind of want to focus in on being a witness, all right? Being a witness today. Are we a witness? I talk to, and this is all introduction, but I talk to a lot of people in my profession. And I've really tried over the last month or two to be more intentional with witnessing to them. And it's something God has really been placing on my heart. And when I was thinking about what to pray, when I was praying for what to preach about, let's say it that way, God has really just been kind of putting that on my heart a lot lately. Like, Brian, what are you doing today? Like, you may never see this person ever again. He may buy one vehicle from you and he's gone out of your life. Could be for eternity. And what are we doing? Are we being a witness? Are we reflecting Christ? But remember, maybe we're not reflecting Christ because maybe we never were saved. Maybe there was never a change. Maybe we never really repented of our sins and put our faith and trust in him. And if you're watching by internet, if you're here tonight, I know it's a Wednesday night, and I know a lot of this, I'm talking to the people that are committed and are here. But guys, it has to be through a relationship with Christ, through repenting of our sins and trusting and believing the gospel that he was buried, died, and rose again. And there, you cannot help but be different from that. I'm not saying that I'm totally when I preach to you, like I said, I'm not saying that I'm doing this all perfect. I cannot write a book on witnessing, but I can tell you some things that God has placed in my heart, and I pray that I can be an encouragement to you guys tonight. So what are some practical ways that we can instill in our lives to be a witness? Let's look back at our text of chapter 22, and I want to kind of just talk a little bit about the context. And some of this might be elementary, but for me, I need that sometimes. And so basically, the book of Acts is written. It's actually, if you have a study Bible, it says the Acts of the Apostles, okay? And I know, like I said, it's kind of elementary, but one of the requirements is to have physically seen the resurrected Christ, to be an apostle. And with that being said, the book basically primarily focuses on two apostles, the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul. Okay, so we all know about Saul, right? Saul of Tarsus, he was a religious zealot. He tormented Christians. He approved of the stoning of the first martyr, Deacon Stephen, right? And he would literally walk through the streets and pull men and women out of their houses, whether it be the middle of the night, and throw them into prison because they believed in Christ, because they believed and they were Christians. See, to Saul, Jesus was a threat to his tradition and religion. But one day, and praise the Lord for this, one day on the road to Damascus, where, believe it or not, he was heading to persecute more Christians. I read that. I was like, wow. So God, he was actually going to persecute more Christians. God intervened in Saul's life. And since Paul's conversion, he changed his name to the Apostle Paul, right? He turned into what? A preaching machine. I mean, he was all over the place. I was reading some of his missionary journeys, and the guy, God radically changed him. And he, if anyone was a witness, the Apostle Paul was a witness, man. He was all over the place. He was put in prison 2 different times for 2 years just because he preached Christ, because he told people about what had changed him and how God had saved him. God had elevated Saul, by the way. He was a pretty smart guy. He knew the law. He actually grew up. If I'm getting ahead of myself, but they mention a guy's name in verse three. His name is Gamaliel. All right, Gamaliel was a very high up Pharisee. He was a member of the Sanhedrin court, and he basically taught Saul growing up. So Saul had some background. Saul was a smart guy, and God elevated him. And I was writing some things down that if God elevates you to a position, whether it be a career or a social status, use that platform to honor him, because that is why he has allowed you to attain it. So under the subject of being a witness, I'm going to point out three different attributes of being a witness for Christ, right? Got to have three. So if we're going to be a witness for Christ, number one, we need to listen for his voice. Listen for his voice. Look at verses 7 and 8. It says, "And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." See, so often in life, we get so busy that we never stop just to sit and listen for God's voice, right? Now, I'm not saying God will speak to you audibly. He doesn't do that anymore because we have God's word to speak through us. But how often do we get in God's word? How often do we put our busy lives aside and listen for his voice? See, sometimes Jesus is speaking to us and we just aren't listening, right? And I'm talking to myself with that. And did you know that when the Bible speaks of hearing, that doesn't necessarily mean that just to listen with your ears. That means to listen and to respond. Listen and respond. Maybe you're here tonight and God is doing something in your heart. He's calling you to do something. Maybe it be someone that you know that you need to be a witness to. Then you need to respond tonight. Respond. That's what hearing God's word is. That is how we listen. That's how we listen for God's voice, is when we respond. That's how we hear it. See, maybe you've never experienced that true conversion that Saul experienced in these verses. Maybe you're not being a witness because you never experienced the saving power of Jesus in your heart and mind. Yes, we need to understand in our minds that there has to be a change of direction and there needs to be repentance. That's the big thing. There needs to be repentance. See, we can live life and say, oh, I believe Jesus died for me, rose again, and just go on living life the way that we were before. But that's not what our Bible talks about, is it? When God really gets a hold of our heart, see, we can believe it with our mind all we want, but when it comes into our heart, when he gets into our heart, that's when our lives are changed. That's when we repent of our sins and we make that choice to be a witness for him. You know, God has really been talking through that lesson last week with, if you're in Sunday school, about how we have two paths to be on, and we have a choice. We can either choose the narrow path, the straight path, right, or the broad path. But then he says in that verse, "He that doeth the will of my Father." We know that we can't be saved by working to heaven, right? But we're to do something after we're saved. We're to be a witness. And that word witness, it can be in more than just what we say. It actually has to be. If we're going to make a difference, if we're going to lead people to Christ, because that's why we're here, that's why you're here tonight. God saved you, or maybe he hasn't saved you and he's working on you right now. But we're here to be a witness. We're here to be a real, authentic believer of Jesus Christ. That's what our world needs. And we can talk about it all we want, but we have to put it into practice. We have to be a witness. We have to listen for the Lord's voice, just like Saul did here. There must be a choice. There must be a choice to choose Jesus over our sin. See, that's the problem with most of us, or most of our world. We don't want to make Jesus the Lord of our life because we love our sin too much. We don't want to make him Lord. We don't want to give him control. Guys, that has to happen if you're going to be saved. If you're going to go to heaven, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that has to happen. There has to be a change. There has to be us making him Lord of our life. So maybe you're here tonight, you need salvation. You'll get that opportunity to trust him tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother Brian, I know I'm saved. I can remember the change. I can remember when he saved me. But I just don't hear his voice anymore. Look at verse 7. I want to point something out that I saw here that the Lord showed me. Not that I saw. He showed it all to me. But verse 7 says, and I fell on, what does it say? The ground. And I fell on the ground. Saul was experiencing the light. He was experiencing Jesus. Because who came in and talked to him? If you got a Bible and it goes red, what does that mean? That means Jesus is speaking. He saw Christ. He experienced Christ. And he fell to the ground. When's the last time we fell to the ground and got on our faces and prayed before God? And I'm not saying I do this every day. I need to get better at it, about going on my knees and on my face. There's something about just being on your face and praying to God and asking him to give you direction, asking him to use you, and asking him to allow us to be closer to him, right? There's something important with that. And I saw that that he fell on the ground. And look at verse 7. And heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Guys, how often do we pray? Because part of being a witness, we have to pray. We have that's our way to talk to God. His way to talk to us is through his word. But when is the last time we just prayed? The Bible says to pray without ceasing, right? That means to pray continually. We need to pray throughout our day. But are we listening for his voice? Maybe we don't hear his voice because we aren't making him a priority in our life. And if that's the case, he's only one prayer back. You know what the devil wants to do? And I know he does it to you because he does it to me. He wants you to make you think that whatever you're going through, nobody's going through it. He wants to make you feel like you're in solitude and that, oh, you made this mistake. You can never be used for God again. That is a lie. The devil is a deceiver, and he does it to me all the time. And here's the thing. Don't let past failures hold you back from what God can really use you for in your life. We've all failed. We've all messed up, right? We're going to continue to mess up. But what about after we mess up? What are we going to do? Why are we here? God has you here for a reason. If he didn't, you wouldn't have breath in your body. Listen for his voice. Pray to him. Talk to him. He wants to hear from you. Has there ever been a time in your life where you know God was telling you to witness to someone and you found out that they passed away? That's happened to me a few years ago. And The gentleman was actually in his 30s, higher 30s, and every year when my kids turned one, we threw a big party for him. We got the big blow-up. Some of you have been there. We get the big blow-up bounce houses, right? And the kids love bounce houses. Man, what a cool idea to have a business that you just blow something up, and there you go. Kids have fun. And there was a gentleman that owned the business, and every year for my kids' one-year party, he'd come out. And he'd set it up in Elmont. That's all the way up in Elmont. And I think his business was basically down here in St. Clair Shores. But he came out there one night, and I left work and headed out there, and we were going to stay the night. The birthday party was on a Saturday. It was a Friday night. And he was out there blowing up the tent, getting it prepared. He'd bring it out, set it all up. All you got to do is flip the switch. And God spoke to me. He said, Brian, you need to go out there. You need to talk to them. You need to witness to them. See, God was speaking to me, not audibly. You know, he didn't come to me in a vision, you know, but he was speaking to my heart, man. And he told me, I knew that's what I was supposed to do, and I didn't do it. And not far long after that, I found out that he was driving down I-94 with his son, and he had a massive heart attack, and he passed away. See, God is giving us opportunities, and we never know the last time we're going to see that person. Are you being a witness? And I tell you, I think about that, and I know I shouldn't dwell on it, but What if he never heard Christ? What if that was my opportunity to talk to him? And I didn't. See, during our normal, everyday lives, does God ever speak to you through the Holy Spirit to witness to someone? Guys, if we are to be a witness, we must listen to his voice. Listen to his word. Listen to his commands. He doesn't have commands for us to hold us in bondage. He broke that bondage. He broke those chains. He broke the sin that held us down. We don't have to walk around being defeated. We can walk around with a good attitude. Guys, we're going to win. We're on the winning side. I think we need that more. We need to be more excited. We need to have that attitude that we're going to win. But we need to listen to his voice if we're going to be a witness. So, not only are we to, number one, listen to his voice, but we are to, number two, arise at his command. Look at verse 10. Actually, let's read verse 8 through 10. It says, "And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And I said this at the beginning, but we can talk all night about what it means to be a Christian, but talking about it and putting it into practice are two different things, right? Doing the will of the Father that Matthew spoke about, that we referenced in chapter 7, is more than words. James says that with that faith without works is dead, right? Being a witness for Christ means being moved to action. Moved to action. It's more than just coming to church. It's more than just filling a pew. Though that is important, and I think sometimes that gets overlooked, how important church is in your life. Man, make church a priority, which I know I'm speaking to our Wednesday night crowd and you guys are here, but guys, we need it. We need church. I don't know where I would be without our local church in my life. It helps keep me on track. It helps keep me going. It keeps me going in this race, and we need it. Make it a priority. And you know what? If we make it a priority, God will bless it. He really will. There has been times in my life, and there's been things that God has just blessed me with because I've made his house a priority in my life. And I don't tell you that, oh, look at Brian. I say that because praise the Lord for that. That is something that he's done in my life. He's changed me. He gets all the glory. But guys, we need to make this a priority. Jesus said that he died for the church and that the church is his bride. And that's kind of important. If it's that important to him, then it needs to be to us. And I know I'm talking to talking to the choir, right? But man, make church a priority. So number two, we're to arise at his command. If Jesus gave his life for the church, he calls it his bride, then it should be important to us. Being a witness for Christ means arising at his command and serve others. Right? Because he's commanded us, what does he say? To love one another, right? As I have loved you, right? Do we really love one another? Because if we do, love is an action. When's the last time we really prayed for someone? When's the last time we stepped out of our busy lives to go encourage someone else? And I'm talking to myself. I get so busy. I it's like a blur lately. It seems like I'm getting so busy that things are going on. It's like I need to step back and think about, okay, God, who can I encourage today? Who can I just go and pray for? Who can I just take some time out of my day to? And I'm not saying I do this all the time, but I need to. I need to. Part of being a witness is serving. Part of being a witness is arising at his command, just like Saul did. So when's the last time we went out of our way to do something nice for someone else? Kind of getting a little more practical here. That's not a word, practically, is it? Practical. When it comes to being a witness. Being a witness means building relationships and being different. We're to go out of our way to be nice to people, to build relationships. Pastor says it a lot, that if we can meet their needs physically, then we have that opportunity sometimes to meet their needs spiritually. I know we think about being a witness as we just have to go out and yell at people and give them the gospel. No, it's more than that. It's caring for people, right? It's loving them to Christ. And when you go out of your way for someone and you go out of your busy, normal life and you do something nice for someone, then God will give you that opportunity. He'll give you that opportunity to talk to him. We just got to arise to the command, just like Saul did, right? See, in a world that is so consumed with self, when we do something for someone else, that will get people's attention. I told you this story probably before, and I know I told my Sunday school class this, but we took the kids to Chuck E. Cheese. I think I've told this story, but some of you may not have heard it. And when you go to Chuck E. Cheese, they have you walk in, and you go through the little clicker thing, and they give you a little stamp so that that's your kid, and you can't leave them there, even though sometimes you want to. But no, I'm just kidding. They give you the same stamp and the same number as your kids, right? So we're in line, and when you walk into Chuck E. Cheese, they're going to get you right away for the money, right? They want you to buy the tokens and get the combo, get the pizza, which I can't do this recording. I just don't like the pizza much, but the kids love it. They love the place. So anyway, we're in the line, and we're at Chuck E. Cheese, and my sister was there, my older sister, and there's a lady that walked out with her kids, and we were at Lakeside, the Lakeside Circle, right? So the parking lot is right there. There's a little median, not much, and then there's Lakeside Circle right there. So you see where this is going. One of the little kids started walking out in the Lakeside Circle. The mom is still putting the other kids in the minivan, and my sister and me both watch what's happening. And my sister sprung to action. Like, she was like my hero, man. She was like, it was like slow motion when I'm watching her. She's like, she hops over the thing when you come in, you know. And she ran out there. She grabbed the kid, pulled the kid back, and she saved him. She saved him from whatever. It was a little toddler, too. I mean, it was a little one. He probably wouldn't even have seen him. I was thinking about that, and I've told that story before, but that's kind of like being a witness and warning people of things, right? Like, if you saw someone that physically needed help, and you weren't like me, and it was like, you know, like I was in like a, sometimes in situations like that, I freeze, right? And don't look at me like that. You guys have frozen too, right? No, I'm just kidding. But where was I going with this? I'm totally rabbit trailing here. But when you see someone that needs help, that's where it was. When you see someone that needs help like that, most of the time you'd run out there and do something, right? You would tell the mom, but guys, when we're being a witness, when we're being told to arise at the command of God, isn't that so much more important than our physical life? Like, we would have no problem with going and helping someone, but spiritually, guys, our world is dark. Spiritually, people are blinded in sin, and we know it. And we're just watching that toddler go out into Lakeside Circle, just like I did. And they're dying, and they're going to hell, and they're going to spend an eternity in hell unless we say something, unless we do something. Now, I know God knows, I believe God knows who's going to be saved, but we don't. So we need to be a witness. We need to arise at his command. We don't know who God is going to save. We're to just plant the seed, right? And he's going to bring the increase. So not only are we to listen for his voice, right? We're going to be a witness. We're going to listen for his voice. We're going to arise at his command. But number three, actually, you know what? Before we go to number three, I want to read something to you. I wrote this down. Guys, we are part of something so amazing if you're saved that it has the power to change marriages, to change families, and the gospel can and will impact eternity. So what are we going to do while we're here? Are we going to be a witness? Are we going to arise at his command? And with that thought in mind, I want to read this story real quick. Listen to this. The Roman soldier stood resolutely before the 40 Roman soldiers of the thundering legion. I commanded you to make an offering to the Roman gods. If you will not, you will be stripped of your military status. The 40 soldiers all believed firmly in the Lord Jesus. They knew they must not deny him or sacrifice to the Roman idols. No matter what the governor would do to them, Candidus spoke for the legion. Nothing is dearer or of greater honor to us than Christ, our God. The governor then tried other tactics to get them to deny their faith. First, he offered them money and imperial homes. Then he threatened them with torments and torture with the rack and with fire. Candidus replied, "You offer us money that remains behind the glory that fades away." Listen to that. "You offer us money that remains behind the glory that fades away. You seek to make us friends of the emperor, but alienate us from the true king. We desire one gift, the crown of righteousness. We are anxious for one glory, the glory of the heavenly kingdom. We love, honors those of heaven. You threaten fearful torments and call our godliness a crime, but you will not find us faint-hearted or attached to this life or easily stricken with terror. For the love of God, we are prepared to endure any kind of torture. The governor was enraged. Now he wanted them to die a slow, painful death. They were stripped naked and herded into the middle of a frozen lake. He set soldiers to guard them to prevent any from coming to shore and escaping. The 40 encouraged each other as though they were going to battle. How many of our companions in arms fell on the battlefront, showing themselves loyal to an earthly king? Is it possible for us to fail to sacrifice our lives in faithfulness to the true king? Let us not turn aside, O warriors. Let us not turn our backs in flight from the devil. They spent the night courageously bearing their pain and rejoicing in the hope of soon being with the Lord. To increase the torment of the Christians, listen to this, baths of hot water were put around the lake. With these, the governor hoped to weaken the firm resolve of freezing men. He told them, "You may come ashore when you're ready to deny your faith." In the end, one of them did weaken. He came off the ice, got into a warm bath. When one of the guards on the shore saw him desert, he himself took the place of the traitor. Surprising everyone with the suddenness of his conversion, he threw off his clothes and ran to join the naked ones on the ice, crying out loudly, "I am a Christian." You see, the testimony and witness of these 39 soldiers influenced one to arise and join the cause of Christ. So what are we standing for tonight? That book was an excerpt from a book that an old pastor of mine, back when I was younger, gave to me on my 18th birthday when I graduated high school. Actually, it was my graduation party, not my birthday. And I just picked it up a couple months ago. I never read it. And it was called, it was entitled Jesus Freaks. Yeah, that's what it says, Jesus Freaks. The stories of those who stood for Jesus. Every page in the book was a story about someone who paid the ultimate price and gave their life for Christ. So it was a story of a bunch of martyrs for Christ. Guys, we may not be asked to give our lives for Christ like these Roman soldiers did. Maybe one day we may have to. I don't know that. But God is calling us to arise at his command. What are we talking about tonight? Being a witness. How do we be a witness? We listen for his voice. And number two, we arise at his command. So, not only if we are to be an effective witness, do we need to listen for his voice, arise at his command. But number three, this is really deep. We can't wait. We can't wait. Look at verse 16, and I'm almost done. Verse 16. Famous words of a preacher, right? Where I'm almost done. "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Back up a couple verses. I want to read this to you real quick. Verse 12, it says, "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, 'Brother Saul, receive thy sight.' In the same hour I looked upon him." That person, Ananias, that was actually a very common name among the Jews. It was in the Hebrew form, Hananiah. There was three different Ananiases in the Bible. One of them, and probably the most important, was this disciple mentioned in our text. So what's happening? Paul is blinded by the light, which was Christ, right? The light represents Christ. That was him. He was talking to him. He gets up. He's led to Damascus, where this man, Ananias, comes to him, and Saul gets his sight back. Pastors preached through this before, where God tells this Ananias to go to Damascus, and he says, "Are you serious? You want me to go to Saul? You know Saul, right? The guy that persecutes the church. Yeah. I want you to go to Saul. I want you to pray with him. I want you to put your hands on him, and we're gonna make him see." So Ananias then tells him about how God has called him to be a witness in verse 15. Let's look back at that. Let's start at verse 14. Now remember, this is Ananias speaking to Saul. And he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So Ananias tells him about how God has called him to be a witness of what he has seen and heard. And isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're to be a witness, man. This world needs it. They need to see that in us. Not just hear it with our words. And you know what else sometimes we do? And this is what I did, and I'm almost done. I sat on my Christianity for a long time, and I said, they can see Christ in how I live my life. And that is true. But don't use that as an excuse to not tell them the gospel, because that's what I did. I would hide behind that, and that's obviously not a terrible thing, but it is. People need to hear that they're sinners, and they need to hear the gospel. That is what changes people. And yes, we're to live it out in our life, but don't use that as an excuse not to tell them about it. Give them a track. That's what I've been trying to do, just give out tracks. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at it. I can get a lot better, but guys, we never know. We never know when the last time we're going to see that person, and they need to hear it if we're going to be a witness. So don't hold on to, God, they can see Christ through my life. Yes, that's true, and we need that. We need to back up what we say. But man, tell them the gospel. Tell them the death. Tell them the burial and the resurrection. Tell them it was our sin and your sin and my sin that put him there. That's what changes people. That's what will change this world if we just be a witness. And I said this a few times, but maybe God has you in their life for a reason. To tell them, but also to live out Christ in your life. And that means that the decisions we make in this life should be ones that go along with what God teaches us in his word. And I understand we're going to fail, we're going to fall, we're going to make mistakes. But what are we going to do after that? God wants to use you. That's why you're here, and we talked about that. So arise at his command. Number three, word, we can't wait. That word there in verse 16, and now why tarriest thou? You see that? Everybody see that? Verse 16, we're almost done. Verse 16. And now why tarriest thou? That's translated, why wait? Guys, where is our urgency to tell others about the amazing love that they can experience by the saving power of our God? You see, Saul lived out this radical change in his life. He became the most influential disciples, wrote most of our New Testament, all because in verse 15, he accepted the call to be a witness for Christ. Man, be a witness. Be real with people. Don't put on this facade that we think we're any better than anyone else. That is not Christianity. Christianity is not thinking you're better than anyone else. It's realizing that you're just as bad as everyone else, right? And that's what this world needs. That's how you be a witness. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. So are you a witness tonight? Is God speaking to you right now? Don't wait. Why tarriest thou? Don't wait. Arise, he says it in verse 16, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That doesn't mean when you're baptized that it washes away your sins. That's not what it means. That means that Paul had already experienced the conversion, and he was being baptized in obedience to God. Maybe you're here tonight, and you've been saved, and you've never been baptized. Arise, just like Saul was arising and being obedient to God. Why tarriest thou? Guys, go and tell them about the Savior that changed your life. Go and tell them about the God that loves them, and give them that satisfaction that only Jesus can give them. Be a witness. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for, Lord, being that perfect witness for us. God, you take the witness stand through your Son, seeing us as perfect when we've repented of our sins and put our faith and trust in you. And God, I know that there's many times in my life where I don't be a witness. And God, I need to not wait, and I need to tell people about what you've done in my life. God, maybe there's someone here tonight, Lord, that doesn't have that desire to be a witness. Maybe because they've never been changed. They've never been saved. They've never fully surrendered and given you control of their life. Lord, if they call you Lord, that's what it means. It means to give you control. And God, I pray that you'll work tonight. I pray that we'll hear your word and we'll respond. God, because we need you and we're nothing without you. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that has never trusted you, Lord, please make that tonight the night where they get it right with you. And God, we'll rejoice. Lord, I don't care if it's a church member, whoever it is. Lord, we know we can't fool you. And Lord, if maybe there's someone here tonight and then we know we're saved and there's someone you've placed in our life, God, I pray that this invitation that we have, it's open, that maybe that person can come and pray for that person or pray that you will give them the wisdom, give them the words to just tell and arise and go and tell them what you've done in their life. Lord, help us to be a witness, God, because this world needs it. And forgive me where I fail you and just have your perfect will in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. What, brother? Brother? Hey.